Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 28th, 2023. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXV, the fifth paragraph down on the page. Today's readers are Linda B. reading the 12 Steps, Betsy H. reading the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Robin P., Vanessa G., and Liz A. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and announcements will be given by Leslie M. Please stay for all of this. The share ID for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, December 27th, is 20,979 or 20979. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, the number is 20,981 or 20981. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behavior, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service. My name is Linda. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to be of service this morning. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Linda B. And Betsy H., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Hi, I'm Betsy Yates, recovered compulsive eater in California. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority. Loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcohol to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Betsy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone should be muted. Again, we will start today our resuming of the study of the Big Book on page XV, the fifth paragraph down, and I will ask Robin P. to get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service on this meeting and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. The fifth paragraph down in the letter is, these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance because of the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in this group. They may mark a new epoch in the annals of alcoholism. These may well have a remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. Very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, M.D. And, you know, he was a very brave man because he spoke up and spoke out about alcoholism and this new remedy for thousands of such situations. And, you know, it was a brave thing to stand up and stand out in those days about alcoholism. And, you know, AA being such a new startup and new option for people. And so it's really turned out to be very true, and not just thousands, but millions. There are literally millions of people who are recovered today. And, you know, it's been because I believe because of the steps, and which I believe are from God and the traditions, you know, I've always heard that the steps have been created so we don't commit suicide, and the traditions have been created so that we don't create homicide. And they're really, they're just so brilliantly written, and it feels like that they were a gift from God and his holy angels. And it's our responsibility to carry the message and to practice these principles in all of our affairs so we can be walking big books and carry on this tradition for more millions of people. And I believe that it was so wonderful that he said, you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. Because, you know, until then, remedies were not working, or very once in a while kind of thing. And so for him to say, you're going to hear that they had horrible bottoms, that they, you know, you're going to hear all these things, and that they've been sober all this time now, and they've been helping each other one man at a time. And I always think about the starfish in the ocean, and the ones that washed up on the beach, and that little boy, you know, the parable of the little boy who was throwing back, there were 10,000 starfish on the beach, and he was throwing them back into the ocean and saving their lives one starfish at a time. And a man came up to him and said, why are you doing that? There's 10,000 starfish out here. You're not going to make, you know, a difference. He picked up one starfish and he said, I'm making a difference for this starfish. And he threw it in the water. And that's how I feel. I get to make a difference for somebody, and one day at a time, as many people as I can help, and people have helped me. And I just get to carry on the message and carry on the tradition that's been passed down to me, so freely given to me. I get to freely give to others. And I love that the 12th step is a compilation of all the other steps, and it's in such perfect order. And I'm so grateful to be part of this program. It's literally a miracle from God. And I am eternally grateful to be recovered. I just celebrated 8 years of abstinence by God's grace and mercy on Christmas Day. And it's such a blessing. I was such a low bottom bulimic and anorexic and compulsive overeater. I had no opportunity to recover but through the grace of this program. So thank you all so much. I pray that you all have a very blessed abstinent day, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P., for getting us started today. Okay. Although I'm going to take names now of people who would like to share, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared in the last couple of days, please let others share first. Who would like to share today?
Noel J.
Noel J.
Chrissy B.
Anyone else? Okay, why don't we start with these two, and then we'll check in with folks afterward. Go ahead, Noel J. Please share with us.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Noel J. I'm recovering this program, compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful for this meeting and this line. So scary to share on this line, and I still don't know what that's about. But I feel my higher power kind of pushing me out there today. Thinking about, I always get so overwhelmed. I guess I would be considered like a younger person in this program, and I always just get so overwhelmed when I think about the fact that there are like there was a time where this didn't exist. There was a time where the big book didn't exist. And there was a group of people that were kind of just out here figuring it out. And I'm so grateful that I've never, I started recovery some years ago. And I recently moved back to an area where there's a meeting. There's an AA meeting that I go to. And like a decade ago. And just realizing that that was always here. I didn't start recovery a decade ago, but that meeting was always here. Just this idea that this thing has existed this whole time. And when I think about my past and I think about some of the times where I was like deep in the food or just going through abuse or just, you know, some of the just like hard, egregious, kind of treacherous things that I've been through, even though I wasn't in program and even though I wasn't connected to program at that time, program was there and program was available to me in the same way that my higher power was there and my higher power was available to me, even though I was kind of going through those things. And it's just so comforting today. It's so comforting to know that my higher power is always there for me to return to. And even if I'm not connecting, my higher power does have his hand on me. I'm also kind of struck this morning about the urgency I felt to share on the line this morning. And I think I'm really starting to understand this program in terms of just taking the action, even when it doesn't make sense to me, because my higher power has a plan for me in that action that I take. Thank you so much for being here this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noelle J. Christy B., please share with us.
Yeah, good morning. This is Christy, grateful recovering overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Oregon. Just grateful to be here on the line. I appreciate this reading today. It's just that, you know, words of hope in a way of recovery and I'm going into my third year of recovery and just thinking about, you know, when I came in, I'm hearing about what Dr. Silkworth is writing about is these, you know, men who had achieved this recovery. And he says, you can believe what they say, right? You can believe their stories, that they're true. And, you know, when I came in and I heard, you know, people speaking of this recovery and abstinence from something that I couldn't accomplish on my own, that I was struggling with, you know, it brought me hope. And I think the other piece of that is integrity. You know, when I'm in my disease, the words, I can't necessarily trust anything about myself. Like I can't trust my own thoughts, right? Because my own thoughts lead me back to the food. And it's a scary place to be to not even be able to trust yourself, let alone others be able to trust me. And when I think about, you know, our disease looks different with the food, but with the disease of alcoholism, you know, it's easier to see when somebody's intoxicated. And I don't think I understood how much, you know, my disease impacted me on every level. And, you know, one of the things that made me was really unreliable because of my moods. And how was I going to respond to something? Was I going to freak out or not freak out? And, you know, I wasn't the most dependable person. Was I intoxicated? No. But was I dependable emotionally and spiritually? No, I wasn't. And so just to be in a place of integrity, to have this opportunity right now. I'm visiting my grandfather to say goodbye. He's terminally ill. And I get to bring my program with me. And this is hard. Like everything about this situation I'm in like test every part of my recovery. It's like I'm out of routine. I'm surrounded by, I have a lot less control over my foods and surrounded by a lot of foods that are difficult for me. And I'm suffering this tremendous loss. And the grief is difficult. And I have the opportunity to walk through this in a different way and not fall back. And I get to start my day today off in recovery. And that's a tremendous blessing. You know, it's a tremendous blessing to my grandfather who's passing away to have a healthy granddaughter. That's like a gift I get to give to him. And it's a tremendous blessing, you know, this holiday season to give the gift to my kids of a healthy mother, of a recovered mother. And, you know, it's a beautiful gift to give our family and the people that we love. And I'm just grateful every morning I've been getting up and starting my day off in recovery. I'm just committed that, you know, that's how I'm going to walk through this difficult season. Thank you. I'll wrap up. And so I just want to say this morning that I'm tremendously grateful to have recovery, to have abstinence, and to have hope. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy B. Okay, we'll take some more names. Who would like to share?
Selena M.
Haley W.
Wait, so
Margaret D. Georgia.
Was that Dana W?
Oh, Haley W.
Oh, Haley. Sorry, Haley W. And who was that from Georgia?
Margaret D. Thank you.
Margaret B. Great. And who else would like to share?
Nancy C. from Texas.
Nancy C. from Texas. Anyone else?
Elizabeth A. from Michigan.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your first name. What was it?
Sure. Elizabeth?
Elizabeth. Okay, got it. Thank you, Elizabeth A. I'll take one more. Okay, we will go with these.
Danielle H. from the state of Washington.
Okay, Danielle, I got you. Thank you. So we have Shalina M., Haley W., Margaret B., Nancy C., Elizabeth A., and Danielle H. Please go ahead, Shalina. I may not have gotten your name right.
Hi, everyone. Hi, I'm Selena M. I'm from Alberta, Canada. I just wanted to chat about the possibilities of rapid growth. It just brings me back to coming into this program in such a really, really challenging, sickly state, just body, mind, and spirit. And, you know, it was like, but I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I came in with, just not well. The disease of food addiction, the disease of fear, doubt, and insecurity, which really I think was what led to the food addiction. But it was really just, first of all, getting abstinent, you know, and really taking away that coping mechanism that I used to stuff down every single feeling I had. And once I had to start feeling things, then I was able to learn how to feel them and how to deal with them. And it was actually, I mean, when I think about, you know, I came into program when I was 35, and I really spent those first 35 years of my life quite, you know, just not well, especially the, you know, the early adulthood years. But once I learned how to start feeling and dealing with with those challenges, it was quite miraculous how quickly my life turned around. And so I think about, you know, the one thought pattern that I had around thinking that everybody else and every situation around me was responsible for the way I felt and what I did in addiction. And when I was able to start learning about accountability and how I am responsible for my life, that was probably one of the biggest things I learned about in recovery that really catapulted me into some peace. And and because when I could finally start taking personal accountability, I was able to start moving forward, because I then had, I knew that my next right action was going to start helping me recover. So yeah, you know, living the principles of this program is what has changed my life. And I'm just, yeah, really grateful that, you know, it's not just about taking away the food, but it's about replacing those behaviors I had with the food and those thinking patterns with healthy thinking patterns that have really been able to bring me peace in my life. So that's all I've got. Thanks. This is Selena from Alberta, Canada. Selena M. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Selena M. Haley W., please share with us.
Hi, thank you. Haley W. From Arizona. Just really grateful to be on this meeting this morning. And, you know, definitely really appreciate the doctor's opinion, what it has to share. And, just the fact that no other method was able to rid me of just the physical obsession with food other than program, and that it just has provided me and many other fellows just something that was, you know, cunning and baffling and just felt impossible and unmanageable to deal with. Just feeling very grateful to be on a meeting this morning. Feeling very grateful for just the solutions and just the serenity that comes from the steps and fellowship and meetings. And just really grateful to have done more of just more reading and more meetings that center around the big book this year. I guess my first couple of years in program, I was mostly working out of the 12 and 12, which are great in their own ways, and definitely have learned a lot from those. But I'm really grateful that this year has been filled with more big book, more passages from there. And just feeling really grateful this morning for program, really grateful for, all that it's helped me with through the holidays. And I feel like in past years, you know, the holidays have just been filled with both a lot of joy and a lot of kind of insanity and a lot of powerlessness and a lot of just worry and fear. And I'm just really grateful today to have solutions and, for the solutions that come from the big book and just a framework to work through all the ups and downs. So, grateful to be here, grateful to be able to claim my seat and check in. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Haley W. Margaret B. from Georgia, please share with us.
Thank you. And thank you so much for all of your service. It's always a pleasure to listen to you on the line. My name is Margaret B., and I live in Georgia. And I am a compulsive eater. I am learning so much on a daily basis as we start over the big book from scratch again. I started program in 1987. I've never left it. I've tried to the best of my ability to you know, do whatever I was told or whatever, by sponsors or by the big book or, you know, by God's grace and mercy, an intuitive thought or a decision or an inspirational thought. And what I hear in this reading, when Dr. Silkworth says or tells us that we may rely on absolutely anything that these people say about themselves, I felt such a freedom that I have not known in about the last, well, since June of this year. And what happened with me was I was given a diagnosis of cancer, and a lot of things that had been absolutely effortless, being abstinent, the disease had been lifted from me. I cannot explain how, all I can say is that, well, what I couldn't explain is my amazement at it, but what I can say is the disease of compulsive eating was absolutely lifted, 100%. So, excuse me, fast forward, and it's in June, excuse me, Jesus, I sound like I'm sick or something, dadgummit. But what happened was, because of the other disease, certain things happened. You know, I couldn't eat the way I used to eat. My abstinence, to me, went right out the window, and I was so concerned about, oh, my God, am I abstinent? Am I recovered? Am I this or am I that? That the disease took advantage of it and said, you have to look at every little pee you eat, every little drop of water you drink, and judge it as, you know, am I abstinent? Am I not abstinent? Am I sticking to a food plan? Blah, blah, blah. And it very effectively shut off the flow of God into my life. And I was listening to a vision for you yesterday, and I realized that my sobriety is exhibited when I can be there for another suffering compulsive eater. It's not whether I have two beans or four beans or no beans or whatever, although I'm not saying that abstinence is not of 100% importance. It is. But what I'm just trying to say is, and I'll wrap it up with this, that the disease used that fear of not being abstinent to kick me out of being of following whatever it was that God wanted to do for me. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Margaret B. Nancy C. from Texas, please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy C., gratefully recovered in Texas. I am just filled with that gratefulness, that gratitude. It just is overwhelming me right now. I'm a few months into a new program, a new abstinence, a new beginning, after 3 years of being totally out of control. Although knowing how this program works and trying to work it, I was just helpless. I was just hopeless. And reading in this paragraph, we're in the new epoch. That can be my new beginning. It's a new year coming on now, and everybody's starting things new. I now have a new understanding of both my higher power and this program and even my illness. I'm in my 70s, so I've had this disease since I was a child, so I've had lots of years to learn my illness, but now I can say I understand it, and this program is what it's done it for me. It's given me a new freedom to throw away my old useless beliefs and start again. In this paragraph, it also mentions a rapid growth. I have had for the last 3 years an urgency to grow, an urgency to get better. And it's driven me to keep on trying and keep on trying. I think I've had 10 sponsors in the last 3 years, but I just keep on trying. And this time I feel like in my new search for a higher power that is comfortable and loving and giving me what I need, I'm finally getting the hang of this program and working with God to become recovered. I'm learning in this rapid growth. I can't grow quickly unless I stay with other people, learn what they learn, give to them, help others, be useful. And with that, the promise is, I guess, that we get a remedy for our disease, relief, a cure, maybe not a total cure, but a temporary cure. Or no, I don't know how I'm going to phrase that, but we get relief in our new abstinence, and we're released from the addiction that's been driving us. We have a freedom against that urge to overindulge that was just pushing me day and night. I am so grateful that I am here and able with this program and this app to share what I've learned and to learn what you're sharing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Texas. Before we hear from Elizabeth and Danielle, I just want to mention to those who may have come on late that we are sharing from the Big Book on page XXV, the fifth paragraph down, which begins, "These facts seem to be of extreme medical importance," and we're sharing till the end of that letter from Dr. Silkworth. Okay, after Elizabeth and Danielle, I'll take some more names. Please share with us, Elizabeth.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. And I, like another speaker, I'm not sure why I have such a difficult time sharing on the line. I've done open talks face-to-face. I don't know. But you know what? It's okay, because what really strikes me is with Dr. William D. Silkworth's humility and his realization of his own inadequacies and willingness to go against the grain. I've heard from this vision meeting that Dr. Silkworth wanted to remain anonymous in order to not destroy his career until a certain point. But what he was doing was against the grain. What he was doing was risking his profession and the humility it took for him as a doctor to be able to see his own inadequacies. I just have this picture of a salmon swimming upstream, and I feel like that's what this program asks me to do. This is what God asks me to do, to go against what I'd like to do, self-will, run riot. And sometimes I'm in situations that I really have to do things and speak up and set boundaries and like another speaker also, I came in 1986. I've never left. And this has God, as I call him, has called forth for me to be different. And at my youngest brother's Christmas party, you know, it was a lot of drinking, a lot of eating. And just to open up to my niece and tell her that I'm in 12-step program, to be vulnerable, right? To be transparent, to give up self-sufficiency, self-justification, self-reliance is counterintuitive. So that's kind of what struck me today, was that Dr. Silkworth took that risk. And one day at a time, I can do what God calls me to do by his help and the help of my fellows. I appreciate you all. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth A. And Danielle H., please share with us.
What am I doing? What am I doing and why?
Danielle, I can hear you.
What?
You can share me. countercultural.
I'm sorry, is this Danielle? Okay, so let me say we have about 8 minutes left, so we could hear from two or three more people. Who would like to share?
Susan A.
Okay, I didn't hear anybody. One at a time, if possible. Go ahead.
Susan
A.
Dara C. Dara C. Who is that with the initial B?
Shay D.
Shay B. And one
Laureen
more.
Laureen W.
Okay, Laurie W. Okay, we'll stop there. Dara C., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. I'm in my car. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone doing service. This is Dara C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Delaware. And I'm also a recovering overthinker. And I used to get messed up with this line that we can rely absolutely on everything we say. And then later it says that we can't differentiate the true from the false. And I would really overthink that one. Well, how can they both be true? But what Dr. Silkworth is saying is aligned with a lot of other messages in the Big Book, that recovery begins when one alcoholic shares with another alcoholic, in our case, compulsive eaters. And that's really true, right? Because who can understand the suffering of this disease better than someone who has suffered? And I think that's really how I've connected with fellows over the years, with newcomers, with sponsees, is it's sharing my own experience. It's just different when it comes from a doctor or a professional who might very well care about me and my well-being, but there's something about hearing my story from someone else that just connects me on this deeper level. And that's how I was able to begin my recovery journey, and it's how, you know, my sponsees have been able to begin, and it's just really powerful. So here you have a prominent doctor, right? I mean, I think he was pretty renowned in his field, and you know, like someone else shared, the humility involved to say, you know, you should listen to what these alcoholics have to say. Forget what I know and what I studied in medical school and all of my years experience, but you should listen to what these first 100 alcoholics have to say. And that's really powerful, right? That I have a message that has depth and weight because I have suffered, and I don't believe that God wastes any of my suffering. It's all so that I can be useful to the still suffering that are out there, so that I can share my experience with someone else and hopefully connect with them on that deep level and help them begin their journey of recovery. So it's really, really powerful, and that's what's jumping out at me today. With that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Dara C. Shay B., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service this morning, and to everyone on the line. My name is Shay D. I am recovering in California and so grateful for the gift of recovery today and for the gift of abstinence today. The words that really are striking me this morning are remedy, a remedy for thousands, and rely. They may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. I have found there's remedy in the rooms. Through learning about the Big Book and going through the steps book, that there is a remedy, and that I can rely on the success of others who lead the way, who share, who have been recovered and who live in recovery. And it just makes me think of how often for myself it's like, help, I need help, you know, in and out of the rooms for so many years, and what I find now is here is help. Here is help, like a drowning man who, or drowning woman who is screaming and asking for help, and help is here, and I can accept it, or I can say, oh, I don't want help that way. I still want help my way. I still want to keep swimming. I still want to keep struggling. And so I'm really learning to release and let go of the boas that strangle me, the beliefs, the opinions, and attitudes that have so just strangled my life and stolen life from me. And I'm learning to accept the help of the wisdom in the room and to step into recovery in a way that I never imagined. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shay B. And let's see, Laurie W. You have 2 minutes, Laurie, for your last share, for the last share. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am Laureen W. from Massachusetts and working on recovery as of today. And the facts of this, it starts out, the facts appear to be of extreme medical importance. You know, this chapter alone brought me to my knees because it understands my disease and how it affected me totally for 45 years of my life. And I've been in program, next week it'll be 32 years. And I am so grateful for this chapter, for this book, and for Visions. It was my sponsor, my step sponsor, that brought me to Visions. And I've been on Visions for several years now. You have taught me so much. I am so grateful that I am willing to learn and understand how this disease affected me over the many years and affected everyone around me. And I can listen and learn from others at meetings, listening to Visions, and listen to my fellow OA people. They are my gift. They are what has helped me to remain abstinent when I have been abstinent and brought me back from relapse when I've had relapses. It's been a wonderful journey for the past 32 years, and I hope to God it will continue to be my journey for the next whatever number of years He allows me to have, because it's only through God and the fellowship in this program that I have survived today, because I would have been deceased before now. And I pass with gratefulness, a grateful heart, and a grateful body. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine W., for helping us end on such a positive note of hope. Okay, thank you all who shared and who listened. We will now close this part of the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, following with the Serenity Prayer. Would Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You, Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only?
I will. Thank you so much, Kathy, for your service, and thank you for everybody who showed this morning. It was an awesome meeting. My name's Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.